be the foundation of this thing. He pointed them to the sure word of prophecy. Pardon?
5 feet up the following classes.
Okay. That's in which class now? Ezekiel?
Both Ezekiel and Psalms.
Psalms. And that's I'm just as apt to grab a wrong name when I first look at somebody. All right.
Okay, I meet up February 21st.
21. And you heard the tape?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, February
28.
28? Yes. And I mean, March 20th.
20.
March 24th.
And 27. But no, you didn't happen to get that other one.
Well, March 17th doesn't have a recording for it.
How come?
Well, I don't know. I guess it just didn't happen.
Oh, okay. Okay, that won't hurt you any anyway. That won't hurt you any anyway.
On Ezekiel and Daniel. Ezekiel and Daniel, I mean, of January 28th.
Way back here. Now, you did hear, when you say you made them up, I assume
right,
that you
know,
heard
I
the date. Okay.
And I made up March 3rd.
Yes. There's an urgent message for Dan O'Brien from the office to call Jack Hicks right away. So,
Jack Hicks?
If we can't see him coming in, could you announce it right before the class starts? Could you announce it right before the class starts if we don't see him coming in?
Jack Hicks?
Oh, no, Dan O'Brien. You have to find him.
Oh, he wants Dan O'Brien?
Yes.
Well, now, I'm supposed to call Jack Hicks?
No, Dan O'Brien is...
Oh,
yeah.
Oh! I get you now. I get you now. Okay. Okay. Now, that was here in March 3.
6.
And 6.
8.
That's all? Okay. Thank you. Somebody get the roll book, please. Dan O'Brien, if he comes in, let me know at once. Pardon? Well, I have a note for him here to call Jack Hicks. It's important. So, do you know where he is?
Is the phone number SU92000?
Pardon?
Is the phone number on there, SU92000?
422-357-518. Dan is supposed to call Jack Hicks, and it's important.
Yeah, that would be. I know that. What class is he in?
Find out, let me know. And maybe somebody can get this message to him. I think we are ready for Psalm 134. Is that right? I think I read that to you. I don't know now. Does anyone have anything to contribute to that 133rd Psalm? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's a wonderful saying which most people have never been able to perform. But there it can be done. And in the degree in which it is done, in some places they do it, and it is beautiful. It is wonderful, but that's God's program. Psalm 133, it is good and how pleasant. It's an exclamation. Exclamation. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And yet we've never come to it in a very large measure. It can be done in small measures sometime, and it's beautiful and wonderful and works fine until something happens, and then that beautiful fellowship just blows all to pieces. Seen it happen so many times. Just a beautiful assembly. People just love one another. Everything's going beautifully. All of a sudden, the devil throws a monkey wrench into the affair, and away she goes, just like that. They're like a bomb. But it's God's purpose that his people love one another and keep the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. Endeavoring at least to do that is the least we can do, is to endeavor. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the peace, unity of the Spirit, and the bonds of peace until you all come to the unity of the faith, which might be put with that. A good cross-reference, if you know where it is. I can't tell you right off. Thank you. Ephesians 4:13 is a good cross-reference there. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. I remember reading that to you. Even Aaron's beard. It's like the anointing back in those times when God was with him in a wonderful way. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon the people. And they did wonderful things in God's presence. And God did wonderful things in their presence. Like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. God wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. He just wants the anointing of God just to fill you completely. That you might all be filled with the fullness of God. That's another cross-reference that would fit right there. See, filled with all the fullness of God. That also is in the New Testament. Anybody have that? Pardon? Okay. Fine. I'm glad somebody helped him here. As the dew of Hermon, that is how that God blessed that land when these people were in it doing the right thing under Solomon. As the dew of Hermon, the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You see, it typified that kingdom under Christ, where there will be life forevermore. Under Solomon, the Prince of Peace, Solomon means peace. He was a prince and a ruler and a king over all Israel. And he had a 40 years of peace. A kingdom which was great, grand, glorious, greatest in the world. And he had all wisdom, knowledge above all kings, because he typified the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have the wisdom of Christ, but he had everything right next to it that could typify it, as far as that was concerned. But he was not the Christ, and he made a poor ending. His end may have been better than it indicates, but long toward the end, he was led astray and failed. It was necessary that he fail. If not, they'd have still been worshiping him as the Christ. They would have still been declaring, this is the Son of David that God had promised. He had to decrease. Jesus had to increase and he had to decrease. There never could come one. There came one among whom those born among women, there was none greater than John the Baptist, but he had to decrease. He had to decrease that Jesus might increase. That they would not just begin to worship John. All right, so it's always been. 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Which by night stand in the house of the Lord. This is speaking of the Levites, of those that were close to God, of those who had no inheritance in the earth. Their heritage was in the Lord. The Lord was their inheritance. And day and night they served him. You remember that in Revelation it tells you that up here in the end of time they serve God in his temple day and night. Remember there when finally in the new Zion, serve him in his temple day and night. So it was that they did back there. In 1 Chronicles 9:33 and 23:30. Somebody gave me that also to just now, didn't you? 23:30. And 1 Chronicles 9:33, yes. Did somebody else have another one? All right. Lift up your hands. You see, bless ye the Lord. In other words, God's calling his whole people. The whole church. He wants everyone in the church to be as a Levite. He wants you to be a Levite. He wants you to just reckon yourselves pilgrims and strangers in the land. And your inheritance is in glory. Their inheritance. They had no inheritance in the land. The Lord was their inheritance. They served him day and night. God's Spirit was upon them. God's special blessings were upon them. They were clothed with righteousness. They kept themselves clean. They washed before coming before him. And they kept his ordinances. And they helped the people keep the ordinances. And they were mediators between the people and the Lord in receiving of their offerings and sacrifices and offering them properly before the Lord. You see? So God is calling all his people. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. They were a type of that close, overcoming bride and her company that are very near unto God. Priests, kings unto God. They shall be to him that overcometh, they shall be kings and priests unto God. They shall reign with him. That's who he's talking about. That's what the Levites represented, because the Levites were part of that great ruling, reigning kingdom under the king. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heavens and earth, bless thee. Out of Zion, out of his dwelling place, out of his place of his holiness, out of his holy kingdom. You see, there's where the blessing is going to come to his people eventually, even life evermore. There he commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Typified when he did manifest himself between the cherubim in Jerusalem, in the temple, between the cherubim. You see, that's just a type, a figure of the time when God will tabernacle among men. He'll dwell with them. He'll spread his tent over them. They will worship him in his temple day and night. They'll be in God forevermore. God will be in them. They will be his children. He will be their God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And they just couldn't praise his name back there like we can praise him now, because they didn't know it. They kept inquiring after it. But once we know him, daily shall he be praised. Prayer shall be made unto him, and daily shall he be praised, and the Gentiles shall praise him. You see, and that's what's happened through the gospel. That's what's happened through the gospel. Time will come when all the Lord alone shall be exalted. All nations shall know that he is the Lord. They shall all know the Lord, from the least unto the greatest. That'll be a wonderful time, won't it? You won't have to lock your doors anymore, lock your windows until you can't breathe, to try to keep somebody out. Oh, hallelujah. I'm longing for his kingdom. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. You are my witnesses, they thought, and you are my servants whom I have chosen, he said to Israel. But they're not all Israel that are of Israel. But he still has his servants. He still has those who do praise him. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. They that feared the Lord and thought upon his name, they spake often one to another about him and concerning him and admonishing one another in love. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. Malachi 3. You that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, Levites all, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Oh, how I love Jesus. There is a name I love to sing. I love to tell its worth. And we sing it. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel as his peculiar treasure. That peculiar treasure, not strange treasure, a peculiarly his like no other people on earth are. His own special, particular, absolute children. His children, born of him, begotten of him, his children. His own children. Now, as a king claims everybody to be his subject. They're all his people. They're all his children in the sense. And the city, the state, will claim the citizens as their own citizens, their own children, our children in the state of Washington. The children of the state of Washington, see, they have their children. The city claims its children. But there is a peculiar sense in which those children belong to the mother and the father that brought them forth, like they do not belong to anybody else, or nobody else can claim them like they can claim them. They are their very own. your very own child. Now the state may look after your child. They may have respect for your child. They try to make things for your child. But they're not as conscious of your children as you are. They're not nearly as concerned about your children as you are, or they wouldn't be having this Sikkhus proposition in the school. See? You're more concerned. They're your children. Your bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. They're of your own flesh and blood. They're of your own body. They're part of you. They're part of you. Now, in that sense, those who belong unto God and whom He has called, chosen, and faithful, they're His own special children. That's what that word peculiar means. They're peculiarly His in every sense of the word, in the way that others are not. Sure, He made everybody. Of course, He created all people. We're all sons of God. No, not in the sense that God claims. They have disinherited Him. They have rejected Him as their father. Therefore, He has rejected them who do as His sons. And He has sons that do acknowledge Him as their father. Those are the children of God. Sure, He created all things. Sure, all things were made by Him. Sure, everything is His. Cattle on 1,000 hills, but men are more than cattle. And more than chattel. More than real estate. More than anything. They are peculiar treasure unto God. Exodus 19:5. Titus 2:14. 1 Peter 2:9. You were as sheep going astray, but now you're returned unto the shepherd, bishop of your soul. You were at one time not a people, but now you are a people. You've returned under the shepherd and bishop of souls. You're saved. Now you've been redeemed. You've been brought back. Bought back with a precious price, even the blood of Jesus. Deuteronomy 14:2 and 26:18 with that same fourth verse. For I know that the Lord is great, Psalm 145:3, and that our Lord is above all gods. The other gods, all other gods are no gods. No gods. Lord above all that is called God. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. Matthew 6:10, Jesus prayed that we should pray that again and fully and completely Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Also Daniel 2:20, we find out there that He even caused Babylon, who is a type of the ungodly end of this world circumstance, is going to be utterly destroyed, and He destroyed old Babylon. But before He did do that, He manifested Himself to them and made them acknowledge that He was God in heaven and in earth and did according to His own will. He made even His enemies, He made the devil himself and all his agents acknowledge Him. And in the end of time, they're all going to acknowledge Him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Therefore, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, because He is God. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that He did. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, bringing water to the mountains and the hills and the valleys and the deserts, running back into the sea and evaporating, coming back, circling the earth and watering the earth continually. What for? For His children. Whom He created for His own. But He allows it to fall upon both the just and the unjust until His children get through school. As soon as He gets through school, He's going to take off on a vacation. And while He's gone, He's going to cleanse this old world of the wicked. Who smote? He bringeth the winds out of his treasuries for many purposes. He smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee? Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his servants, who smote great nations, such as Babylon and Assyria, and so on, slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, mighty king, Og, that great king Og, man, if you'd seen his bedstead. It was more than king size. We have king and queen size now, but his was a big one. Giants, great kings, mighty men, having great power. God sent his people up there, sent his children up there, and cut them off. Gave their land for an inheritance. Didn't belong to them, belonged to God. Didn't belong to them because they were ungodly. It belonged to the godly. It belonged to God's people. It belonged to the children. God never did make it for the ungodly. He made it for the other. They said, well, those people were there first and Israel came up and took it away from them. I don't think that's very good. You just don't know the Bible. God never made it for the ungodly. What makes you think it belongs to them? Or the gold and cattle on a thousand hills, why should that belong to the wicked either? The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. The gold and the silver are mine, saith God. Hallelujah. He's got the whole world in his hand. Got you and me in his hand. Praise the Lord. I'm glad of that. Gave the land for heritage unto Israel, his people. He gave the Ammonites, the Amorites of that land, he and the Hittites and all the rest of the Girgashites and so on. He gave them time to repent, but they didn't repent. They got worse and worse. They got worse and worse. Until finally he said, the iniquity of the Amorites is full. I'll send my people up there now and take it over. As far as I'll let them go. God allowed them to build the tower until they got about so high, and then he said, I've got to put a stop to that. Nebuchadnezzar became a great people, a great nation. He said, I'll have to put a stop to that. Others came along after him, and God just had to put a stop to that. Just allowed to go so far. He's only going to allow this one to go just so far. Cut it off. That's all. God has a purpose. His purpose to have a people for his name, that love him, that serve him, sons of God who are like him, and then he's going to bring them into the full inheritance of his glory. He made them a little while inferior to the Elohim. A little while. Until they got through school, until they got mature, until they learned to trust God and of their own will acknowledge it. Whosoever will shall come and take of the water of life. Whosoever won't, nothing but death, darkness, outer darkness forever, lake of fire. But man has to choose for himself. God has chosen a people for himself, but if they reject him, then he rejects them. God chose David. God chose Solomon. But he said, David warned Solomon, if you obey the Lord will be with you. But if you disobey the Lord and turn from him, he'll reject you. And he did. What does that tell us? That tells us exactly the same things happening up here in the end of time now. You obey the Lord, you can be a child of God. Serve the devil, you're a child of the devil. And there's a great valley between the two of them in that great day of judgment. When you die here, you go one place and the other, go the other place. And there's a great valley that's fixed, absolutely fixed. It can't be changed no matter how much you pray about it or what you'd like to do after you get there. I'm sure that the rich man would have changed his theology if he could have, and his manner of living, his conversation in the earth, if he could have done it. He could not do it. They can't pass over one from the other. And that's what makes us feel that once a person is dead, there's no use for you to weep and cry before the Lord to get their sins forgiven or pay any priest to do it for you. Because God indicates that it's not so. In spite of the fact that the book of Maccabees tells you that they prayed for the sinners, the dead, who stole some of the stuff when God had told them not to, because after all they were God's people and they were good people, really, but they did this thing, so nevertheless he tells you. And so we have that same thing. The Catholic Church, you see, they go by the book of Maccabees also. They have that in there. And in there it tells them that they did that. Therefore it is a good thing. I think I perhaps maybe jotted that down in my new book already. Let me see. Yeah. 2 Maccabees 12:42-46. He said, "It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead who had sinned," because these were sinners and they were caught with the goods red-handed, "that they may be loosed from sin." Some of the Israelites begin to fall there at Jerusalem, you see. And it seemed like God wasn't with them there, and they begin to fall before their enemies. And later they found out why, because those same ones under their coats, they had that abominable thing like Korah had done, see. But now they're saying it is a therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead sinners that they may be loosed from sins. But don't go by that, because the rest of the Bible doesn't agree with that. That's the reason the book of Maccabees is not in our Bibles, because we got too much of that sort of thing that came in. And the evidence is that a lot of that came in even after the gospel was preached in order to deceive the people. It's part of the devil's business. That's the reason I won't rely upon it. There's too many places in there that indicate that they had knowledge of things that were in the gospel and was afterward. Even things that Apostle Paul may have preached himself. Just like the Book of Mormon is loaded full of New Testament sayings that Joseph Smith and Moroni picked up right out of Paul's writing and slopped them over into the Old Testament to prove that they had something. Plagiarism. Just taking it and stealing it and putting it someplace else to make you think they've got something. Just loaded full of it. Besides other false and foolish things. Thy name, O Lord, 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Now, thy name, O Lord, the name you know, of course, was not Lord. Thy name, O Yahweh. This is my name. I am the Lord. This is my name, not Lord, Yahweh. Always. Now, some 6,600 and some times in the Old Testament, the word Yahweh, the name, the tetragrammaton, the ineffable, unutterable name, is in there in the original Hebrews, but the Jews would not use it, therefore changed it over, and more recently they put in Jehovah three times, but the rest of the time they just call it Lord. But the name is always there when you see the capitals. The name is there. Now, he didn't say Lord. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will not give to another. But Jesus had his Father's name. If he's a separate person from God, then God did give his name unto another. See? I am come in my Father's name. The very name Jesus is Yahweh the Savior. Therefore, God is not the Savior. Yahweh, Jesus, is the Savior. unless Jesus is God, which He is. You see? You get all manner of contradictions in the Bible unless you believe just what it said, the way they said it, with an understanding. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. And thy memorial, another place in Scripture, Hosea, I think, 12:5, said, this is my memorial forever. Forever. Not Lord, Yahweh. And that name, whatever new name that God has, that name will always be in it. In fact, you'll notice that in the places where God revealed Himself, in the few places where we do have the word Jehovah or Yahweh, or rather Jehovah and Jah, He is Jehovah, your banner, Jehovah, your Savior, Jehovah, your healer, Jehovah, your provider. You see? In all these things, He's all that you need. So that in any place that He has even a combination name, the word, the name is always there. So in Jesus, His name shall be called Jesus, Yahweh the Savior, because He shall save His people from their sins. And His name, thou shalt call His name Jesus, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Now, His name was not Emmanuel, but His name, which could not be told until the angel declared it, until He was born and made manifest and registered, could not be known, His name, Jesus, shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And there's only one God. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. For the Lord endureth, His name endureth forever, thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge His people. Hebrews 10:30. And He will repent Himself concerning His servants. As I thought to do you evil, now I will think to do you only good from now on. That's the way His prophecies go. He said to them, as I thought to do you good, now I am going to do you evil. So He cast them off and scattered them and sent them out into captivity. Then when He turns again, He said, now as I thought to do you evil, now I have repented me of the evil and concerning my servants, because now they are turning their heart back to me. Now they are finding out they need their God. Now I will turn, and now from now on it will be all blessings. And you'll look for the sins of Israel, and there won't be any, because I will have cleansed his blood who was not cleansed. That specifically Judah, which called his blood down upon him when they crucified him and said, let his blood be upon us. Their blood, therefore, was not cleansed, has not been cleansed, is not cleansed yet, but he's just about ready now to bring them back to him and cleanse them. From then on, there'll be no more sin of Judah or of Ephraim or Israel, but they will be his people. He will be their God. He will have cleansed them. Israel will say also, not only Judah, but Israel will say, what have I to do anymore with idols? And God says, now, those same people to whom he said, I will love you no more, I am not your people, you're not my people, and I'm not your God, the same he has said, I will love them freely. They, in the same place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. Hosea 2. And also 1 Peter 3. 7, 8, 9 through there. It's on the back of that. 4, 5. All right. He will repent himself concerning his servants. Psalms 90 and 13, and 106, 45 also. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Psalm 115:8, identical. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron, whom God chose to be his anointed. The Levites, those that serve him day and night in his temple, those that stand in the house of the Lord day and night. You see? Now, stand in the house of the Lord day and night doesn't mean that you have to be over here to the chapel. You stand in God's house day and night wherever you are. We are God's house. As long as you behave yourself in the church of God, as the church of God, and are members of his body, you are in the house of the Lord. You stand in the house of the Lord, and you stand on firm ground. Firm foundation. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone of that great building. The perfect Son of God. The cornerstone. The idols of the heathen. All right, down. Bless the Lord, O ye house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. You see, that brings it right down to you and me. And tells us that we have to be Levites. We have to be sons of Aaron. We have to be sons of Israel. First of all, sons of Israel, then sons of Aaron, then sons of Levi, and then sons of Christ, children of God in Christ Jesus. Ye that fear the Lord, bless and praise ye the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Now you see, he was still, at the time this was written, in Zion. And then, later on, returned to his people again. Now he came unto his own, and he went away until they acknowledged their offense. He's coming back again. One of these days we will be with him. The tabernacle of God shall be with men. He'll spread his tent over them. He'll tabernacle with them. Revelation 21. Behold, 20 and 21, both places. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. That's reason enough. Good. For his mercy endureth forever, even to me, even to you, even to whosoever will, even to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, if they will hear his voice. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, Elohim. One word, Elohim. Give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. If you want to know who that is, look at 1 Timothy 6:15. Jesus Christ, in his times, he will show who is the blessed and only potentate, the Lord of lords and King of kings, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto in the flesh, whom no man hath seen nor can see. No man has seen God at any time, neither heard his voice nor seen his shape. But God has manifested himself in a voice, and in a form, and in the flesh. And you've seen that. And in seeing that, you saw the manifestation of God. Therefore, you saw God as he manifested himself. But no man has seen God at any time. See, it seems like a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. It's just explaining to you how the God does manifest himself. Moses spoke to God as face to face, as a friend to friend. And the reason they said that, and the reason that Moses was permitted to do that, was because Moses was a type of God manifest in the flesh. He was unto the children of Israel as God. Aaron was unto them as his priest. So both took both Aaron and Moses to typify that one thing in Christ, because Christ is both Lord and priest. And Jesus was also both Lord and Christ. He was both God and man. He was both Father and Son. Unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God. And this Son that is born, his name shall be called not only the everlasting Father, but the Prince of Peace. And as the Son, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called both Father and Son, both Lord and Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that Jesus said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father, not as he is, but as he has manifested himself in the greatest way, when he manifested himself in the living Christ, in the living Word, and was made manifest. The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. But we saw his glory, not as God in his glory, but as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. God manifest in the flesh. Give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. He's also King of kings. Doesn't say that here, but he is. Could have said that too. It could have said, oh, give thanks to the King of kings. See, it would have been the same thing exactly. He mentioned two. To him who alone. Did you notice that alone? By myself, I stretched out the heavens alone, and spread abroad the earth by myself. Is there a God beside me? I know not in me. No, behold, there was no God before me, neither shall there be after me. There is none like me, there is none equal to me, there is none beside me. I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. One, not three, not two. You see, if we take the whole Word of God, it will bring us right to Christ, and we'll come to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. How big is Christ? Just how great is he? Just who is he? How great is his name? Given him a name of which is above every name in heaven and in earth. Well, how can that be? You mean greater than God? No, not greater than God, but greater than any name that God had ever had before. The greatest thing that God had ever done to his people, he had saved his people, he had healed his people, he had delivered his people, he had supplied his people, he had done all those things, but he had not as yet become the Savior of the world. Everything that was ever known of God is incorporated in that name, Jesus, which is Yahweh the Savior. And when he gets through redeeming his people and bringing them into his glory and making them like unto himself and spreading his tent over them so that they are in him and he in them forevermore, he'll have a new name that'll incorporate everything that's ever been known of God, and the name of Jesus will be in that name, but it will be a name that we don't know yet. In other words, it'll be the full revelation of God when we see him as he is and in his glory as he is, as sons of God. Hallelujah. If that doesn't give you a hey-gay on it off. Settle down now. We want decency and order in the place. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like getting offside. Way down in here, you know, just like a bottle about ready to burst. Hallelujah. I'm glad God has seen fit to do it this way, you know. Just cause us to rejoice. Rejoice? What do we got down here in this miserable, ungodly world to rejoice about? Everything. Because he's everything to me. Hallelujah. I love it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For the Lord will judge these people. Where am I? Way over here. Not as far as I should be, but further than I am. To him who alone doeth great wonders. Jesus said, if you can't believe me for the words that I speak, believe me for the works that I do. Because nobody but God can do what I'm doing. The Bible already told you that hundreds of times back there. Many, many times and proved it to you. Nobody but God can do these things. To God alone belongs the issues of death. He alone holds the waters in his hands. He alone holds the winds in his fists. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that does this? Well, this man is different than every other man that you ever saw. He was God manifest in flesh. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Came obedient even unto death. That's this man. What manner of man is this? Like you've never seen before. He was typified by Moses and by Joseph and by Abraham and by Solomon and David. Sure, but there was never a man like this. Greater than Solomon is here. What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. Well, if only God can do this thing, he certainly is a God-man. That's what we're going to be one of these days. Sons of the Mighty. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom... Now his mercy does not endure forever to the ungodly who are rebellious and stiff-necked and stubborn and will not. His mercy endureth forever to the thousand generation of them that love him, but his wrath is against those, and his judgments are unto the second and third generation, even to the innocent children of those that hate him. Oh, is that the kind of God he is? Just exactly the kind he is. He does not love the sinner and the devil and all the ungodly enough to save them in their sins. He came to save them from their sins and to forgive them their sins if they will acknowledge it. Only he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon, the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. Guess who he is? All things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist or hold together. You wonder what makes this thing take the shape it is, and this the shape it is, and this the shape it is, and you the shape you are. The color of your eyes, it's because by him all things hold together. Everything that's made is that way. There's a molecular law that everything holds together according to its molecular construction. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are seen by those things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, there has to be a God to have laws like that. There has to be a God that could put everything in there and make it so absolute that it has to always continue just that way. It'll come out that way. You go into a laboratory, chemical laboratory, and you begin to stir this up according to direction. If it doesn't come out according to the way the book said, you did it wrong. The laws are there and they'll work out every time. If you have the same proper circumstances every time. scientists, many of them, get right down to the very, well, and behind that bit of life, they can chase it and clear down to the very greatest, and they're doing more all the time. They're getting further all the time. What? Adam? Adam's not an atom. They only called an atom because they thought it could not be cut, could not be separated any further. Smallest thing that ever was or ever could be. They called it an atom. It's not an atom. It can be. We found out it can be. And look what it did. Blew up Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Because it could be. Great, tremendous power. Got it by the tail and don't know what to do with it now. Mod, scientist, Einstein. Well, behind that, what? God. Well, behind that, keep your big mouth shut. None of your business. God, that's all. In the beginning, God. Well, what before that? None of your business. None of your business. You got more to find out up here that he did make your business. Without trying to find out those things that he hasn't made your business, because one of these times the mystery of God will be finished in his time. Not for you to know and understand, question, well, how could God be this and that? All those foolish questions. None of your business. If you want to find out, get saved and get in glory in God the chosen. Doesn't belong to the other people, it only belongs to the saved. Mystery of God will be finished. You'll be part of it and you'll see it. You'll know it. We'll know it even as we are known. It's worth being a son of God. Oh, hallelujah. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy.